Hey, I want to thank our sponsor, Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Look, their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, and they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships at over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranches across the U.S. And as a result, their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they are reducing food waste. Look, cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. Those who spend a lot at restaurants at high or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Their upcoming meals are seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers, creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles and sweet potato wedges, fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn, and Cubanelle pepper, as well as chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. I'm telling you guys, me and my girl, we have Blue Apron night, and it is the best night of the week. She's impressed by my cooking. I'm impressed with her cooking. It's a great date night. It's affordable for less than $10 per person per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonable recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. They got variety. You could choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. I love surprises, and they're flexible. I'm telling you, customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. And it's easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe, and pre-portioned ingredients can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and it's guaranteed. They guarantee freshness, and I'm telling you, every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/MMA roast. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes, and be able to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. That's blueapron.com/MMA roast. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Hey, everybody, welcome to... Everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. We got a special Vegas edition with three of the badass fighters. We got Kevin Lee, the Motown Phenom.
Yo, yo, what up, though?
Colby Covington.
What's up, guys?
And Dean Thomas, the legend, Dean Thomas. What's going on? Kevin Lee, by the way, congrats on your recent win. That was awesome.
Appreciate it. You know, I try to make it look easy, even though it ain't.
Yeah, no, you did, actually. He took you down one time. Were you concerned when he got the takedown?
He didn't take me down. I thought I blew out my knee, but it was actually more my ankle. When I stepped back, I kind of rolled my ankle. But even once I felt him on top, I was like, oh, no, it's going to be all wrap. So, you know, you can kind of get a feel for a guy once he's, you know, once you start to grapple and you feel a strength. I thought he was going to be stronger than that, but, you know.
Really?
I thought he'd be a little bit stronger at least. You know, I face some, but again, I face some tough guys, you know, like people don't know because these guys that I'm fighting is stupid fights, you know, they only got like 1-2 UFC fights, but these motherfuckers is tough, you know, they just as tough as anybody else, you know, you look at anybody, 155, 170, like it don't matter, like everybody gonna be tough, so I was expecting to be a little bit tougher, but I get what he take me.
Was Trinaldo stronger?
Yeah, for sure. Trinaldo was
stronger. Trinaldo, that's an ugly dude, too, man. So, you know, he's strong.
He ugly as hell.
He got nothing to lose, so he's just strong for no reason.
Oh, yeah, and they from the favelas down there. So, you know, they used to fighting. But he was strong, but the strongest kid I probably faced was Jake Matthews. You know, he had that young strength, you know, and, you know, a kid that could probably be at 172. So, and when I felt his strength, I was like, God damn, like, this motherfucker, like, I got to really break out all the stops.
Now, I felt bad for you in your fight because you look great, you know, you were in, and all of a sudden the ref stopped the fight when he didn't tap, but it looked like he was about to go out.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't see why people keep saying that. You even had like Joe Rogan saying it. It's bullshit, you know. When you watch the film, he definitely go limp, and the thing is, if you're not defending yourself, that's the ref's supposed to stop it. And Mario is a great ref. Mario's a black belt, you know. He knows that feeling, you know. You can, if you've been choked out enough times, you know that feeling, like right when you get to that dream mode before going out. So Mario saw it. He was defending the hands. As soon as he stopped defending the hands, Mario stopped it. And you know, it's a blood choke. It's no it's no like squeeze. There's no muscle. You know, I don't know what why people. You know, he was saying that he was gonna sit there and wait for my arms to burn out, and it's like, bro, like you going against the meaty part. Look at these arms. You know, you're going against that against a soft part of your neck. They ain't going, you know, ain't going to burn out. So he was going to get choked for another 45 seconds. So,
but there was only 45 seconds left. And I felt like in some ways you got screwed the most out of this because people were not talking about your win, how good you looked. And instead they were like mad at you. I'm like, what do you want you to do?
The whole thing. And I think even that's why Dana like started up because controversy, people like talking about controversy. So it helped. It really do. Like it ain't, you know. Look, I was whooping his ass before. I was gonna continue to whoop his ass after. I was hoping that we would have went to the second round at least. Like, you know, I was expecting to show a little bit more. You know, I didn't get to show much of even what I trained for. You know, I trained hard for that fight. I trained 9 weeks, and you know these training camps, you can't do nothing with it. So, you know, I was expecting a little bit more, but hey, I got to get what he take me.
Nah, man, I agree with you, man. Like, I felt like, you know, everybody was all on your case about that, but I agree with you, man. I felt like he was going out.
And
he wasn't defending himself, even for that split second. And they said, oh, yeah, but he got up and he turned around to the ref and said he was okay. But that's what happened. Like, if you let go of a choke, you can turn around. Instinctively, you'll turn around and say, I'm okay.
It's all about defending yourself. You know, that's like a boxer going out there and saying, oh, I'm letting him hit me in the head so that his arms will get tired. Yeah. And so then I'm like, what? Like, bro, like, are you crazy? Like, that ain't how that's on you. I thought that he would have better defense. Because his offense on the back is so great. But, again, I said it before the fight, you know, the kid was really strong mentally. So I had to break him physically before I did mentally. And even once he broke physically, he was still in the fight. He got up. He was still, like, ready to fight. You know, he's one of them dudes, like, you knock him out and he's trying to fight the ref.
Instinctively, he won a fight. He didn't want to quit. He was just out.
So I don't even blame him. But, you know, hey, it is what it is.
Colby, what are your thoughts on the whole thing?
And it sucks, you know. It sucks to have a great moment like that taken away by controversy. You know, you want to get the win, and you want to do it convincingly. And that's what he was doing. You know, he had a tight rear naked choke in, and I mean, he didn't even have his hands defending the main part of the choke. That's up here. He's got to peel that off first. So his hands were down here. You know, he was about to put the guy to sleep. So it kind of sucks to have the controversy go. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he should be too worried. You know, he was dominating him, and he got the win. So, you know, on to the next.
So and then you called out Khabib. Yeah. Do you think they're going to give you the Khabib fight or no?
Man, I was hoping, but you know, as I'm steady talking to him, I think they're going to make him and Tony, they're going to replay the same goddamn fight that has fallen through like 3-4 times. So I was trying to, you know, I was trying to ease my way up in there and, you know, make some sense of the whole situation. But if they want to do it again, they probably not going to fight again. They're going to schedule it. And then it's going to be another John Jones Cormier situation. They ain't never going to fight. So, you know, I mean, hey, that's on the UFC. If they want to spend all this money on promoting that fight and doing all that, they can do whatever they want. It's their money. But the smart money would be to throw me in there with them because you know I'm going to show up. When I say I'm going to show up in Detroit, I'm going to show up. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, if my knee blown, you know, he don't want to show up because he can't eat during the day. You know, like,
right.
Man, you know, come on, man.
That's his religion. You
know,
that's
but he don't want to show up because, you know, but look, he didn't show up. He had 3-4,000 Russians fly here to Vegas. You know how crazy that, you know, and he didn't show up because he couldn't make weight. It's like, bro, like, if you don't make weight, just don't make weight and still fight, you know? Like, it is what it is. We all have tough weight cuts. You know, I'm a big guy. I'm sitting here like 185, 190 pounds, you know, like, and I make weight.
Is that going to catch up to you, though, the 30 pounds?
Hell yeah, it's going to catch up to me. I'm so sick of doing this shit. I ain't going to hold you up.
Would you rather move up in weight or just fix your diet, be a little bit more disciplined?
It ain't no, you know, people say that, but it really ain't much more disciplined than I can be. You know, it take me like 6-7 weeks to do it. And then I take maybe a week off and eat like normal type shit. But, you know, even now, like I'm still back on my diet. I'm just a big dude, you know. Yeah. So I'd probably move up to 65 when they create that. If they should, I don't see what the holdup is. So, but you know, 70. I got, you know, these dudes too big. At one second, I mean, look at this dude.
No,
No. That's because he's fighting this week. You know, no, that's a big dude.
No, he's not fighting. Y'all look about the same, man. Y'all look about the same. Actually.
No, I'm just fucking with you.
Me, dude. That's the crazy part. That's how my friend Jorge was. You know, he was like 185, and that's too much, man. You can't be cutting. We're the same weight. I weigh 85, but 55, I wouldn't have any energy to fight. So I respect you for fucking making that weight, and then being able to fight at the level you do, that's impressive.
I did talk about going up to 170 a while ago, and they were like, okay, well, if you go up in 170, now you got to restart your standings, you know? Now you got to, you know, you got to fight again and try and, like, build up. And we already had, like, some momentum going at 55. It's just when I started fighting at 55, I was 21, and I was a little bit smaller, and now I'm, you know,
and I 25. Remember that. I was there, one of them. You remember that? You don't remember that, do you?
A couple years ago when I fought your boy.
J.P. Reese.
Yeah, J.P. Reese. Yeah. That was a good fight,
too. This little nigga running right here with the bouncing with the little hair, the little baby hair.
He said he can't. He actually said he actually decided to fight him at the weigh-ins, right? You were saying?
Yeah. We took that. I took that fight at the weigh-ins. I showed up. My opponent was like, what, 15, 20 pounds over? Yeah. So he was like, oh, we got this dude, J.P. Reese, who was like, what? He was All-American from Mizzou.
Yeah, from Mizzou. And
tough kid, too, fought in Bellator a couple times. I think I was 2-0. He was like 8-1 or 8-2. I was like, well, fuck it, I'm fighting somebody.
I said, I'll be sure looking motherfucker over here.
I remember, too, you was in his corner for that fight, wasn't
he? I went up to Detroit with him and hung out over there.
Yeah, I had to get it from him, though.
Yeah, you took it. I said, he got it.
By the way, talk about John Jones. Colby, you and Jones were roommates in college at Iowa, right?
Iowa Central.
It was you, him, and who? And Joe Soto. And you told us one time you guys would like beat up townies all the time. It would have like crazy parties where like the whole town, these guys would challenge you guys to fights.
Yeah, all these hick dudes out in Iowa, you know, those cornfield dudes. They all thought they were tough all the time. These cowboys, they'd show up to the house parties at the wrestling house parties, and they're like, hey, we want to test ourselves. We want to see what's up. And they would just literally show up, say we want to fight. They would just be like, let's just start a fight, you know, and just start a fight. They wouldn't even come to party or have a good time like with the college kids. They would literally just show up so they could test themselves and see how they do against the national champion wrestling team.
Against you, Jones, and Joe Soto. Yeah. Man, the wrong fucking house party. There are a lot of houses in Iowa. That's not the house that I would pick. So what you guys – Well, how would the fights go?
Oh, man, it would always end up with all the dudes on their backs outside, like, knocked out or fucking faces fucked up, walking off, guys carrying each other, like, everybody's faces all fucked up. Like, dude, we messed some kids up out there. It wasn't funny. That prepared us for what we're doing now.
Now, are you and Jones so close, or?
Me and Joe? Yeah, dude, that's one of my good friends.
No, what about you and John Jones?
Me and John, we went our other ways. You know, he went his way, and I went my way, so nothing but respect to him. But, you know, I'm not going to chase someone or try and be friends with someone that, you know, is not putting in the effort anyways.
Sounds like you guys are on really good terms.
Okay. Yeah.
He's like, it sounds like a bad breakup.
He's like, yeah, he went his way, I went mine.
That's what it is.
Did he not share the code?
Speak for himself, you know, look at what he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
He's doing his thing, and you know, his actions are repeating themselves. So, you know, I don't really need to say what type of person he is. He puts it out there for himself.
Got it. That's all you got to say. Kevin, you were going to spar with Mayweather before the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Is that happening?
Yeah. They actually hit me up last week, but, you know, I was in the middle with my knee. I actually messed up my knee during the fight. So next week, I think I got to go to L.A., and then I'm like a guest fighter on the England card. So then as soon as I get back, then he said he only needs two sparring sessions out of me. So, you know, it'll probably be like two of his last sparring sessions. So as soon as I get back, it'll be like the beginning of August, something like that. We'll probably get it in.
Now, you're probably going to have to sign like an NDA with that, right?
Oh, yeah. I've done it before with him.
Have you?
I mean, it's weird. Like you know, Mayweather is—he's a good dude. Like people think, like he's an asshole. He's actually a real good dude.
I could imagine.
But when you sparring him, like he treat it like a fight. Like he, you know, he'll do like some outlandish shit. You know, like he'll set the time. Okay, you know, come here on Wednesday. You know, and you get there on Wednesday, and he never show up. And he like, okay, well, come back Wednesday night. So then you kind of hang around all day. You don't eat. You know, you like still. You know, you get there, you warmed up, and then he's like, all right, nah, never mind Wednesday night. So then he'd be like, okay, nah, never mind Wednesday like 2 a.m. So you show up at Wednesday at like 2 a.m., ain't ate all day, ain't did nothing all day. And he's like, okay, we going to do 10 3-minute rounds. You know, you get in there. If you start getting the better of him, he like, okay, nah, fuck that. As soon as you land a good punch, he like, round over. Or if he like is whipping your ass, he'll be like, instead of 3 minutes, we going 8 minutes. Like, he'll just keep pushing it. It's you know, I mean, but that's what you do when you the A side, you know what I mean? Yeah. So he even do that during sparring. And that's why I like...
Fuck the A side. Don't you want to be the A side?
Yeah. That's why...
I'm on no one else's time. I'm on my own time.
Exactly. And that's exactly why I don't really, like, everybody was asking me that before my fight, and I'm like, yeah, the money, all right, but I'm worried about my own fight. Like, I ain't gonna spar with him, so I'm doing my own thing. So well, right now I don't have a fight coming up, and they paying me good money, so I was like, fuck it, I'll do it when I get back. But you know, I got other shit to do first. I'm gonna go to LA, I'm gonna go to England, I'm gonna do my thing, and then when I get back, then I'll help him out.
Wait, you land a good punch, he says rounds over.
Oh yeah, he's notorious for that shit. Look, I didn't see him spar with them Russians, boy. You be, you know, I ain't gonna, you know, get too much into it because they'll kill me. But yeah.
No, they might get you already. Hey, cut that part out.
Cut that part out. You know,
that's crazy.
Nah, it's some money being thrown around. I'm telling you that right now.
Now, I always hear that Hector Lombard at ATT is the guy you don't want to spar with. You ever spar with Hector?
Nah, me and Hector are cool. You know, like, we got a good relationship with him, so, you know, I just stay away from training with Hector.
Yeah,
like, that's the thing with Hector, man, is that, like, if you have a good relationship with him, like, if you already have one with him, just keep it that way.
Yeah,
no need to spar with him. But if you don't have a good relationship with him, yeah, you're going to probably get, yeah.
But your last fight, you called out Woodley, right?
Yeah, of course.
And you said he came and you got trained with him, you got the best of him?
Yeah, he used to embarrass him. Didn't watch me when I came to St. Louis, trained with him when he was getting ready for Rory McDonald. We were supposed to spar 5 rounds that day. Tyron was like, oh, after 2 rounds, I'm done. I can't go anymore. So.
Is that what happened?
That's facts.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that happening. I know it's in St. Louis. But I don't remember that happening. Honestly, I don't remember that happening.
I'll just get a sponsor. From Miley St. Louis. You know, he could.
So what happened? So you like took Tyron down, you hurt on the feet.
I put him in a tough fight. I got him up against the cage, made him use his muscles, made his oxygen fill up in his blood and his arms and stuff, and he just gassed out. You know, I put the grind on him. People can't grind like me. That's what the thing is. They're not ready for the grind, and they don't realize how hard the grind is until they're in there with me. And that's what happened with him. You know, we were supposed to go 5 rounds that day. Second round, he was like, no, I'm done for the day. That's it. You know, and all the coaches called it that day, and I went back to the hotel. So
damn. All right.
He brought me out for 2 weeks of training in St. Louis. We probably trained 2 or 3 times because he didn't like the training. He's like, I'm trying to keep my confidence high. I don't want to work with this kid. Like,
is that what he told you?
No, he didn't tell me that, but that's what I'm thinking. You know? Yeah. Why would you bring me here for 2 weeks and we train like 2 or 3 times? It was a waste of my time. Like, you know, it's like, let's train, let's wrestle, let's grapple, let's get better together. I don't care. You know, you beat me, I beat you. Whatever happens, happens. But let's iron sharpen iron.
Were you going 100%?
Yeah, most of the time. You know, why wouldn't he? You know.
But did he not want to go 100? But was he like, hey, let's go 75, or I don't get hurt, or?
Well, I mean, if it's sparring, you know, you're supposed to, you know,
go 100%.
Hey, that's what I do. You know, one day we were supposed to go 100%. I was taking him down. He didn't like that. So,
I mean, I'm with you on that wave. You know, like I don't spar guys that I know and the guys that I'm friend with because you can't go 100. That's why I bring out guys. You know, the way he brought out. You know, I'll bring out a guy for 2-3 weeks, and you know, yeah, when we get in there and spar, like we sparring. Like I'm trying to.
But Kobe, you do the same. Y'all train more than 2 times in that time,
dude. Honestly, like,
yeah, you train more than that. I mean, y'all train more than that. Y'all train more. What's that? Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, but y'all train more than twice.
Dude, we had one sparring session in that one day when he was like done after 2 rounds, and that was it. We were supposed to be sparring like 3-4 times. Maybe we sparred twice and wrestled and grappled like once or twice under the supervision of you when we were grappling.
Yeah, and I don't remember like anything like out of the ordinary, or honestly, I don't want to cause no beef, but I don't remember you dominating. Well,
you don't want to cause no beef.
The beef is already.
You don't want to cause no beef.
He went on national television and called out Woodley.
You don't want to cause no beef.
I don't want to, but it's not like the beef hasn't already been started. But I don't remember you dominating them as much as you say you are.
Well, you know, when I get that shot, you're about to find out, dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we want. You know what I'm saying? That's what we want. I mean, you can say what you say, and, you know, and I'm saying what I'm saying. I don't remember you dominating him, okay, and I remember y'all training more than twice. I don't remember you dominating him. I don't remember the time where he said the sparring was over after 2 rounds. But if you say it happened, then, hey, you know better than I do, but I don't remember that happening.
Pity to make up.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that, you know, and
what
and
about Juan Fox? I'm glad that you have this to him because on Fox Sports, Tyron's like, oh, ATT, I had to get coaches to throw me off of him because I was beating his ass so bad. The guy just, he's a liar, man. He's reporting fake media, fake news.
I don't. I mean, I don't. I didn't hear that.
This is the best M. Maris podcast we've ever had.
I think so. I think it's close to it.
But I'm just saying. I am about this game. I love the competition. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I love the competition, and I hope you do. I hope you get a chance to fight him. Yeah, for sure.
He wanted to fight Robbie.
Yeah, for sure. And I hope you get the chance to fight him.
And we
want that. You know what I'm saying? Because you know it's all love.
Are you conflicted right now because you're an ATT guy, but you're also Tyron's coach? I mean, like, is it putting you in a bad situation?
Like I told y'all before. Like in the elevator, their success ain't my success. I just work, homie. You know what I'm saying? I just do my work.
But you got two champions under you right now.
Yeah, for sure. But I just do my work. You know what I'm saying? But you know, Tyron's his own man. I work for him. You know what I'm saying? He's you know he has an AT gym, and I go up there and we do the work. And you know I like Kobe, and I want to see Kobe have success. And if Kobe gets a chance to fight Tyron.
By the way, we talked about you.
After my boy Jorge takes it from him first. Though.
Jorge's going to... Well, Tyron's got to beat Maya first. That's going to be a tough fight for anybody. But I do think they're saying Tyron, if he beats Maya or the winner fights GSP, I feel like this is my prediction. Tyron's going to knock out Maya, I think, one or two rounds, and GSP is going to be a war. Or that's going to be a tough puzzle. I think that's going to be a tougher fight than Maya will be for Tyron.
No, they give the shot.
You saw it, though? I don't think GSP can pass you. Saw it. Look at his dad belt. He's got the HGH. Let's be real.
He does got that HGH belt. He does got that belly.
He got that money. They want the clickbait saying GSP's coming back. He ain't coming back.
You don't think he's coming back for real?
I'm with you on that. I don't know if you.
You guys should form like a tag team partner,
bro. And I always looked up to GSP, but when you do the press conference in January and then talking about you can't fight till November, it's like November. Like what the fuck are you doing in January for then? You know, like you who needs 11 months to get ready for a fight? So yeah,
me. I need 3 years. Fuck that.
He might come back. Maybe the money just too great, but I don't think he's gonna come back.
Yeah, I don't. I think he just blowing smoke, keep his name out there. Yeah, ain't no way he want to fight. Like if you want to fight, you gonna fight. You know what I'm saying? Under any circumstance, hey, I'm ready to fight right now. Yes. He don't want to fight.
No. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, he probably is trying to keep his name out there, get some sponsors. You know, keep the money rolling in. But I'm with you on it. He probably don't want to fight. You know, it don't take 11 months. Like you,
no, hell no.
You know, if you in a bar and a dude walk up and slap your girl in the ass, you ain't going to say, hold on, meet me back here in November.
That's a good point.
I'm going to whoop the shit out of you. He's like, talking about you want to fight, bro.
He got injuries. He ain't fought in like 4 years. How you got injuries?
Yeah.
By the way, last night, thanks for coming to my show Monday. That was awesome.
It was dope. I appreciate it.
You came with that with Dewey. That was awesome. I was like, Kevin Lee is such a good fighter. His opponent doesn't even have to tap. They just stop it. And then last night, Misha Tate came, but Misha requested I not point her out or make fun of her in the crowd. Yeah, which I respected that.
You did?
Yeah.
That should have been like...
That should have been ammo number one. Right. That should have been joke number one.
I wanted to. Don't get me wrong. I was like wavering all day. I'm like, motherfucker.
It's
all
right. You can take her, bro.
But I don't even know about that. But the thing was, but she brought Cindy Dandois, her friend Cindy, who I wanted to, if a joke bomb, I wanted to be like, she has worse stand-up than me. But she's super sweet. But then she brought Francis Ngannou, who... This dude,
scares the fuck out of me, bro.
You see heavyweights?
You too?
Scares the fuck out of me. I'm not scared of no man, but I'm like, I even asked him, I'm like, bro, are you about to murder me? Like, what are you doing? He's been working with Dewey, my striking coach.
He's like out of a lab, that guy. I said that. I go, man, look at this guy. He came here to America to drive a cab, and now he's a champion. You know, and he came up to me after the show. He's like, I didn't appreciate your jokes. And I was like, oh, fuck. He goes, just kidding, and gave me a hug. I was like, fuck. And then he actually gave me money for a t-shirt. He goes, how much for a t-shirt? I'm like, just take it. He goes, no. He goes, give me money. And I go, he goes, I don't want shirt. And he just walked away. Give it to someone else. Like, he was like,
oh, Jesus.
He was a nice guy, though, man. But that dude is scary.
He's scary as hell. He's been in Vegas for maybe like a month and a half now, right before my fight. And the first couple of times I met him, I'm like, oh, man. Like, you know, he kind of looks, he don't really understand English, so he kind of give you that you know look like he don't know what you're talking about, and I'm like, bro, like what's up, like you can you be a little more friendly, like can you smile a little bit even. He's a scary dude. I don't and apparently he has never had a coach before. He comes from South Africa, and then he went to France where MMA is illegal, so they can't even open up an MMA gym. He never had a coach. He just kind of saw it on TV and just, you know,
that's
been out there doing
he's
it, you know,
get a lot better really quick.
Oh, it's crazy.
How old is he?
He's maybe like 28, 29, you know.
I think
he's,
I mean, he's might still, I mean, he might be the next champion.
Yeah, for a heavyweight, that's still, you know, that's still young for a heavyweight, yeah. You know. He's been training with Dewey, and the first couple of times that he trained with Dewey, his technique is so raw because he doesn't know what he's doing. But already, like, he picks shit up quick. Like, yeah. I've even seen on his kicks, you know, before, you know, you can just tell when somebody don't know what they're doing, they don't know how to kick. And even now, like, he's turning them bad boys over. Like, he got some power to him. He gonna be that
was, no, this dude, he was scared. He's a nice guy. Now, you got into a fight with one of his teammates on Twitter, Will Brooks. You guys got into a Twitter war. You guys squash it or?
With Will Brooks?
Yeah, you and
yeah,
Will.
Yeah, I laid off of him. I laid off of him at the after that fight. I kind of felt bad for him, too. I ain't going to lie. After his fight with Oliveira. Like, I thought he should have won that fight. You know, it looked like he came prepared. I think he just underestimated Oliveira. And, you know, at this level, like, you can't make mistakes. And I think he just made a mistake. He got caught, you know. And I didn't err on him. You know, I like, let him off. You know, because I know what it's like to be in that situation. And it's actually very easy to do it. And you can do all the right things. You make a mistake for 1-2 seconds. And, you know, it all go down the drain. So, you know, I wish him nothing but the best. Because the only reason why I even started the thing with him is because he's a great fighter, you know. I thought he should have been top three, top four in the world. So I wanted to whoop his ass, and you know, I'm gonna get myself up in there. So you know, now he got to bounce back and do his thing. So I let him. When he get back to the point, we will. But you know,
well, there's a guy. When he beat Chandler twice. I was like, dude, this dude's seriously scary, and he just hasn't had the luck he's had, or the, you know, in Bellator, in the UFC. But in practice, I mean, Will's he's a beast, right?
Right. Pressure, it's a lot of pressure, so maybe he's felt the weight of the shoulders on his pressures, but you know, in the training room, he's a beast. You know, he beats a lot of the guys. So.
Have they offered you anybody yet for your next fight?
No, man, I'm trying to get Magny, but you know, he says he's hurt, he has to wait like another month, but you know, he's just scared, man. He's just a guy that they gifted him a ranking, and you know, look at the last guy he beat, Johnny Hendricks. The guy's coming off roids, and he gave roids up for Big Macs to 185. So.
Oh, wait, how do you know that Hendricks is coming off roids? I
mean, oh, it's for sure, it. Bro.
It's
come on.
Dude, look at him. He looks like shit. His receding hairline. His hair is fucking off.
Yeah, but I have that too. I never did a roid in my life.
His body's changed since the St. Pierre fight, dude. Like, he looks like shit now.
I'll tell you one thing. You know, that Tim Bosch thing, I did not think. I thought he was going to beat Tim Bosch. And then he
just, I thought so, too.
Yeah, I didn't.
You didn't think so?
Really?
After being around him all, and for one, he's kind of an asshole too. After being around him for the whole week and just seeing him like move around and just kind of walk around, then you can tell, I'm like, bro, did you even train for this motherfucker?
You ever see, like, his work ethic in the room, bro? Is like the worst I've seen at this level.
Really?
Like, he was just walking around, like, he'd hit the pads for like 2 minutes.
And he just like real chill.
Then he'd lay down for 10.
Yeah.
Then
I kind of hit him for two more. I kind of seen him like halfway working out, and then he would just be like, you know, he'd do something for 30 seconds, and then he'd just be like, all right, you know. He wouldn't barely, like, he'd get to the point where he about to break a sweat, and then he'd just stop and just like start walking around.
There's a guy who really can benefit from having a real team. It seems like he just keeps doing his own thing over and over again.
From some juice again. You know?
Juice out of the go away.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Or just go to Ryzen. They don't seem to be testing over in Ryzen. Like, some of these guys, like, I think Ryzen, these guys like Vitor Belfort, BJ Penn, Hendricks, do as many steroids as you want. Go there, have fun, and become the champ of Japan.
I honestly think the thing with Hendricks, maybe even that he burnt out, you know?
Yeah.
Because you do forget, like, he was a national champion, you know, in a four-time All-American. And if you've ever wrestled in college, you know, I mean,
and a four-time state champion.
That's a goddamn grind for that many years, you know? You talking about
wearing tear on your body.
That's a lot, bro. And this, you talking about 8 years of you know, going through high school, going through college. It's a lot on your mental, too.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I think after he won the title, maybe he even just burnt out.
And he's got three kids or four kids.
Yeah, and he just don't give a damn no more. You know, like, even when you miss weight by 2 pounds, I think, and 188, like, that's crazy. Like, you know how much money that is?
I know.
Every time, look, I cut a lot of weight, and every time I get down to where it's like 2-3 pounds left and I want to quit, they like, oh, that's 20%. That's like 20 G's. I'm like, man, you got, man, like, you throw me back in this bathtub, bro. Like, 20 G's, man, fuck that. I'll buy myself a little something from Gucci. I feel much better. I feel Gucci again.
By the way, the last fight you had, Justine Kish shit all over the octagon.
Y'all was right up in it, too.
And you fought Did you know that happened?
Hell no, not until on the bus ride back to the hotel, somebody had told me. They was like, oh, the old girl had, you know, what's wrong with her? And I'm like, you what the fuck? Yeah. No, I guess they like halfway sanitized the shit. But, you know, they ain't doing nothing. They just had, took like, some bacteria wipes and just wiped that man.
Wanted to pay him like $15,000 for him?
Yeah, the girl. Yeah.
Some weirdo shit, yeah. Bro.
That was CB Gold. Yeah, actually, it'd be funny if they had like doggy bags and picked up the shit that way. Like, just came over there and you're like.
Yeah, when I got back to the hotel, I asked Elise too. And she said she could smell it and she thought it was a fart. And I was like, what?
So she couldn't see it though.
She saw it when the fight was, because I guess it happened like in the third round or something.
Yeah.
And she saw it when the fight was over, it was on her foot. And she was like, what?
On Felice's foot?
Yeah, it was on Felice's foot. And I'm like, oh man.
I was just going to
I had to restart the fight right then and there. Like, I don't care how tired I am. Nah, you got to get it, bro.
Has anything ever happened to you like that, similar or anything like crazy? Embarrassing during a fight. I mean, you fought back in the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, there had to have been stuff.
Nah, nothing for me. Not like that. That's next level.
By the way, you won 3 out of your last 4 fights. Your last loss was to Georgie Karakanyan, who's a great fighter. Why did you decide to stop?
Because I told myself if I lose again, I'm stopping. So I won 3, and then Sean Shelby said, hey, listen, you beat this kid, I get you back in the UFC. And then I lost. And I didn't have no motivation. Like, even with that fight, I was just, like, showing up. And then when I lost, I just said, well, I guess I'm not going back to the UFC. Might as well be done.
Right.
You know, I'm not like BJ and them, man. Like, I don't care about it that much. You know what I'm saying? Like, for some reason, like, they identify with being a fighter that much. Like, their whole life existence relies on being a fighter. And I get it from y'all because y'all are actively competing. And I was that way too back in 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you know, when it was done, I was like, I got more to do. I can do more.
Well, you're doing great as a coach now. Your girl's fighting Saturday night, Amanda Nunez. What's our prediction in this fight? Obviously, she's going to win, but how fast?
I think she gets her out of there one way or the other in the second, maybe the third, maybe early in the third, though. But she's going to get her out of there.
What are you guys calling?
You know, originally I was going with Amanda. Can she push that pace for 5 rounds?
She ain't gonna have to.
That's a long time. I don't know. Old girl got good defense.
I know.
Old girl can defend herself.
She can defend herself.
She don't get hit
cleanly. She's a good counterfighter.
A good counterfighter, and she don't get hit clean. You know, even when she's backing up, even when she's taking damage, like she's still rolling with shots, even off her back. You know, she's got a good guard.
Yeah.
Don't get hit clean. So I don't know.
Bullet.
I might have to go with the bullet. You know, I don't know, man. I think by the time that third round, I don't know if Amanda can push that pace. Even though I did say the same thing about Amanda versus Misha, because Misha is one of the toughest girls I've ever met. You know, Misha ain't got a whole lot of skill standing up, but can take a whooping and, like, keep on pushing. And I guess after 2 or 3 punches from Amanda, she, you know, couldn't take it. And I was really surprised by
Sarah McMahon, Ronda. It seems like she's cracking on a different level.
She got pop. You know what I'm saying? Like, she just has pop.
So like,
dude pop. You know what I'm saying?
She hitting like a man.
She really like, she turns it over. It whips out. It comes. I guess she's like swap. Yeah. And like when girls feel that, man, they're not used to feeling that.
Yeah. Now, why did you guys take her from Florida to Vegas?
We got her early so she can get acclimated. Like, that's been her problem. In the past, like, she'd come out here the week of, and she's dealing with, like, the dry air, and, like, you know, her nose is bleeding. By the time she cut weight and get to the fight, she's just, like, you know, settling in. But now we've been here for 2 weeks. She settled in last week, so now we cruising.
She came to the show, and I asked her if she wears a strap-on with the belt on with her wife during the show. And then she looked at me and smiled. I think she said yes, but I think she had no idea what the fuck I was talking about during the show. Who do you like in this fight? Now, you said her wife is the best 115er.
Yeah, I believe so, man. I mean, you know, the thing is, Nina, like, she's underperformed in fights, you know, just for whatever reason, you know, being rushed into fights. But in the gym, man, like, she beats up all the girls in the gym.
Including Joanna?
Well, they don't really spar often.
Right.
They don't spar often enough to really, you know, to make that true assessment. But all the other girls, it's like, there's girls that fight that say, I don't want to spar with her.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Now, Friday night, I think the Friday card's better than the Saturday card, to be honest. I like except for the two of the three fights. Let's talk about who we think is going to win. Michael Johnson versus Justin Gaethje. Who we picking?
I gotta go with Mike. I don't know. I just think that style from Justin just gonna catch up to him. You know, he can only have, like, even if he wins this one, that style is, you can't do much with it. He should go back to, I don't know. He gonna get pieced up. I think the straight punches from Mike just gonna be too much for him. The movement too. Mike's faster. Mike's got better footwork. Especially if, you know, Mike might be in the boy head, which is crazy to me because Mike's like the worst shit talker I ever heard. You know, Mike like say some outlandish shit.
Right? Didn't you talk shit to Mike? Weren't you trying to get a fight with Mike?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, even after that, like I just straight up told him what it was, but he just a terrible shit talker. But apparently he's in Justin's head, so I think he might even get Justin to come out even wilder than he normally come out. And Mike's going, as long as Mike can stay cool, stay calm, move, and hit him with them straight punches, it ain't gonna be no way them hooks gonna beat him.
Colby?
I mean, who I think is gonna win versus who I want to win is different. I think that Johnson's gonna come out and implement his game plan. Justin just goes forward, he's gonna walk into something, but I want Justin to win. You know, I want him to implement a game plan, put some wrestling on him, because Michael can't wrestle for shit. You put him on the ground, he's a fish out of the
water.
He
was a college wrestler, wasn't he?
No, I never heard of that dude.
He wrestled like D3 or something. He didn't wrestle D3
by guys like Reza Madotti. Reza Madotti slapped him like a little bitch, you know. So
yeah,
Khabib made him look like a girl.
Yeah, but Khabib makes a lot of people look like girls. I mean,
come on, nah, you gonna have to stop right there. Like that's the hype machine talking to you.
Listen, he fucking destroyed Michael Johnson.
Yeah, that's about it though. He ain't beat nobody since then. He beat RDA, what, 4 or 5 years ago before RDA was on the juice? You know, the real fighters we know, like, you know, that's full of smoke and mirrors. You know, he got a million something Russians following him and all this, and they all on his gym. But, you know, the man don't fight. He don't
what
fight enough for me.
What is it with these Dagestani guys? Like, they seem to, like, have... I mean,
man, I don't know, bro. They got the craziest fans in the world.
But they also have that grip. They even have like bear strength. I mean, you don't think really?
I just fought a Dagestani in Ireland. He all right. You know, I mean, it ain't nothing like, you know, it ain't nothing out of this world
you
or nothing.
These guys,
these guys are fucking animals.
They do some
animals.
I will say this,
bro.
Like,
at ATT, they break so quick. There's like 6 or 7.
They're mentally, man. Mentally, I've seen so many of them, and I even brought so many of them out to get me ready for that Dagestani kid. And they do some different things where, like, they'll catch you in a position. You're like, okay, I'm not used to this position. So maybe that might be what people feel like Mike Johnson, you know, because he did get Mike, you know, he's doing that step over. I mean, I ain't going to break down the technique because, look, right. I'm going over some shit now. But, you know, they just do different shit, but it ain't like this. It ain't like this.
Wait,
shit,
you're saying,
you know
so, Colby,
mean?
They come to the gym, the 6 or 7 of them. Yeah. They beat everyone up for 1 minute and then they all give up?
They just gas, man. They got no heart, dude. Like, it's pathetic. They got, like, a couple 70ers, you know, like some lower guys in the UFC, and they just come in and they act all tough and strong for like a minute and then they just break. They got no will, man, and they sit out. They'll do like one round and they'll sit out like 4 or 5 rounds.
Dean, is that true?
Nah, not totally. Not
I mean,
totally.
That's why they wrestle
totally.
Bears because bears
totally.
Is bears.
Not totally.
They,
not totally.
I guarantee that guy over in Georgia.
That is not totally.
Wait, hold on.
I ain't met
totally
the one
true.
Yet.
Okay,
you know,
Dean. All right,
when they come, like when they first land.
Right.
On the plane, you know, those guys, they come to train, you know what I'm saying? They want to train.
So they have bears with them and stuff? And
not,
like,
not.
Okay, all right, go on.
So, I mean, the first couple of weeks is a little rougher for them because, like, you know, they're just trying to get in shape or, you know, and they'll train, like, the first day as soon as they got off the plane. And those are the days where they're kind of like, one round maybe, and then they quit. But, man, those guys are animals, man.
Yeah, they're animals when they're training with amateurs.
But like pros, you guys.
Yeah, when they come to the pro level, I mean, they get mopped the floor, dude.
That's what's gonna happen to Khabib.
I don't know who to fight.
I mean,
I don't know who to believe.
I mean, Khabib obviously does a lot of things great. You know, he's a good fighter. Like I wouldn't be calling him out if he. I don't call out shitty fighters, right? But you know, I don't think he damn sure ain't what they say he is.
Who Khabib?
Yeah. And I'll show that.
But when he was 3 years old, he was fighting with bears. You don't think that's impressive?
Yeah, I mean, a bear is like the easiest shit to fight in the world. Like,
have you ever fought a bear?
You can fuck. You know how easy. I will though. I'll fight a bear, like, bro, it ain't shit. Like, it's dumb. Like, you know, I ain't afraid of brute strength. Like, I'm afraid of, like, a smart fighter, like, somebody who's gonna stick and move and, you know, be smart. You know, a bear, like, that's the easiest money you can make in the world. Like, come on, man.
All right, other fights coming up. Diakis, who everyone's, how do you say his last name?
Dekassi.
Yeah. Against Rekar Close. Isn't that a guy you train with?
No, I train with Dekassi.
How good is this guy?
Oh, he's great. He's gonna knock whatever his name
Drakkar?
Is. Yeah.
But isn't the Drakkar a Rufus Sport guy?
No, he's in Arizona somewhere.
Oh, okay.
He's gonna get knocked out. He's not gonna last too long.
Right.
No.
Now are you believing the hype on this kid? Diakis?
I mean, he's a teammate. I have faith in his ability. He's a great stand-up, but let's not push this guy too far to the deep end because he can't wrestle or grapple yet. He needs to get a little bit more well-rounded, but his striking, he's probably one of the best strikers in the division, but let's not push him up right up there because, you know, he's his well-rounded game. He has some work to do, but that's what he's working on. He came to ATT from England or wherever he came from in Europe, and he's training with the best guys in grappling and jiu-jitsu, and he's getting better. So
a guy like Michael, I mean, how do you feel about a guy like Michael Venom Page? He's in Bellator. He's undefeated. He's knocked out everyone real quick. He's a eighth degree Dan black belt. Mom was a black belt. His dad was a black belt.
Yeah, everybody what? Is, man. And look, when you put him against a real pro, like everybody look good against amateurs that just do this shit for fun. When you put him against some real pros and we actually fighting for our families and fighting for life, man, he gonna get smoked.
You think
that's why I ain't signed him, because they know, man. If he do, all the hype will go out the window.
Dean, are you believing this kid's hype?
In Michael Venom Page?
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, he's a good
trash.
Athlete, but I'm
trash.
He's
I'm
trash.
Not really sold
trash.
On him.
He's trash.
Trash.
All right. All right.
Trash.
All right. So
watch his fight. Trash.
Elias Theodoro. Who's trash? Who's the other one? Oh, Elias Page? Theodoro was taking on Brad Tavares, your teammate, right?
Yeah. Brad's my teammate. So, I mean, and Brad's gonna whoop him. I mean, I would say that even if he wasn't my teammate. Elias got that. Elias don't really want to fight. You know what I mean? Elias want to look good. Elias want to talk like he want to fight. He don't really want to fight.
He run around. Brad will take down.
You don't know,
around,
like Brad
around.
From Waianae, Hawaii. You know, like them boys over there. Like they scrap for fun. So he gonna be in for a long.
But Elias a grinder. I mean, he's 13-1 or something.
He gonna try and slow it down. He gonna try and slow down the fight as much as possible. But at some point, he gonna get hit. And at some point, he going to hit Brad, and that's when Brad really going to turn it up on him.
You ever see, like, them street fights in Hawaii?
Oh, yeah, bro.
The videos
are
like
crazy.
Street fights in Hawaii?
Yeah,
they're like real boxing matches.
Them boys is crazy. Like, they don't even, like, regularly scrap. You know, they had, like, you know, a bunch of dudes around them, and, they get it in.
So, Angela Hill versus Ashley Yoder. I think Angie's going to win. You guys care about that fight at all? All right.
Who's the other girl?
Angela Hill versus Ashley Yoder.
Who's Ashley Yoder?
She was in Invicta. She's good. She's younger.
Okay. I know Angela. Angela can fight like a motherfucker.
I like Angela.
Yeah, I'm going with her too.
Have you ever had sex with a female fighter before or no? All right. Colby, you?
No.
No, really?
Never.
No, come
never.
On, really? No, really, no girls at ATT? None of the. What about the Miami girls? Come on, man.
I don't take a piss where I work, you know?
You don't take a piss where you work?
Good man.
Why would you not? Like, the bathrooms at work?
Gym drama. I'm not trying to have gym drama, you know?
Right.
With a girl and then have to see her at the weird emotions and energy that's going to be when you see her when you're going into training for a big fight. I don't want that.
See, you smart. You smart. See, I need to be on that wave because
you ain't
your
on
boy,
that wave. Yeah,
your boy's still young and dumb, man. He fucking up.
Are you still married or no?
Hell no.
Oh, wow. So it's official.
Hell yeah.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Yeah. Not good.
I mean, for you,
boy,
I
best time of my life.
I
ain't going to hold you up. Yeah.
So, how many chicks have you been getting recently? Have you been kind of the whole Vegas strip? Because you're a good looking guy. You're a fighter. You're women like you. Has it been crazy?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool.
Just don't get any of them pregnant.
No. Look, that's my main fear. I'm from Detroit, so I mean that's I grew up with that fear. That fear is in my heart. That's, you know, I ain't scared of a lot of things, but I damn sure I ain't gonna have no baby mamas running around. I ain't gonna have no kids for one.
And Dean, do you have any kids or no?
Yeah, I have a son.
Oh, how old is your son?
He's he'll be 12 next month.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He lives in Florida?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you have a girlfriend now or are you?
No, I'm still attached. I'm married.
You're still married?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
How long are you married for?
Good man.
Like 13 years?
Like 13 years.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know how you did it, bro.
Man, I lost count.
I don't know how you did it, bro.
Yeah, I stay on the road. That's how I did it. I stay away from home as much as possible.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been married for 2 weeks now, and I like it. I actually like it. It's weird, though, seeing a girl now and being like, man, like seeing a hot chick and be like, man, I'm never going to sleep with that girl. Not that like I would have before, but at least I would have tried.
Yeah.
But now I'm not even going to try. But it does free up a lot of time, though, being married.
Yeah, yeah.
Because before I was on Bumble and Tinder and Black People Meet. And
Black People Meet.
All these fucking things.
Christian Mingle. FarmersOnly.com.
Fucking
Look, I'm gonna give you some pointers. Right? Then we gonna get you. Yeah. We gonna chase these hoes, Adam. We chase the money.
No more chasing hoes.
No.
Now you got married. You were 14 though, right? How old were you when you were married?
20.
Yeah, your wife came to my show. She looked so angry. I don't know what you did, but she was mad at him the whole time.
Yeah.
Every time he laughed at a joke, she fucking looked at him like, you better not fucking laugh at that joke.
And that's also why that it's been, what,
yeah,
7 months, 7-8 months?
All right. But now, did you go crazy when you got divorced, though? Were you just going nuts?
I mean, yeah, it was, you know, I mean, look, I can't. Because it'd be too many people listening. So.
Right, all right. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, all right, okay. Tom Galicchio versus James Krause. It's a tough fight for Tom. I like Tom. That's my friend. It's a comic, but
I don't think that's a good fight for him.
Fucking Krause is a monster.
Yeah, Krause is a monster. Krause has such a weird style too, and I think it catches a lot of people off guard. Him and Tim Elliott too. People are asleep on Tim Elliott. Tim Elliott can fucking. I mean, I know he just lost his last fight, but you know you get caught sometimes. But them boys like that style, like that weird, real awkwardness, real, it's a strange style to prepare for, and I think it catches a lot of people off guard.
That they're all out of like Missouri or something, right? They are all out of
They've been in Vegas for maybe like, I want to say 2 months almost since the show started. They pretty much all stayed here. You know, the train is much better here, so they ain't go back to Missouri and fucking play touch button.
Anybody that came to the gym that was like, a fighter that was like walked in like, I'm the shit, I'm a tough guy, and you had to put him on him?
Oh, it happened all the time. All the time. I mean, we in Vegas, so many people come in and out. That's why I do my training camps separate from everybody else when I'm actually in training camp. When I'm outside, like now, like I'll go to the gym, I'll spar, you know, I won't really spar. Like I'll just move around with some guys and stuff. If I feel like you can just get the feel, you know, as soon as a dude walks in and you just look at him and he looks at you and you're like, all right, I'm gonna stay away from you, bro. Like you know, I ain't got no reason to. So, but when I'm in training camp, I bring out specific guys for those guys. And yeah, I'm gonna put, you know, I try my best.
What about you, Colby? Maybe walking to ATT and like thinking of the shit and you just wrecked him.
I stay with a pretty like small circle, you know. I got my best friend Jorge Masvidal, and I got our training coach Paulino Hernandez, and a couple guys we got, but we don't branch out too much. You know, when I used to do that, I would get hurt a lot, and I want to train with people that train smart and train to get to the fight 100% and healthy.
That's the better way to do it. You know, that's the future way of doing it. We ain't got nothing to prove. Yeah, like I ain't trying to, you know.
You don't get paid in the gym.
That shit for the birds. You know, when you're young and dumb and, you know, you want to be prove that you a tough. I ain't got nothing to prove to nobody, you know.
Somebody once told me that, like, tough. Hector Lombard, somebody's parent brought in their kid to train with Hector as a way of punishing him. were you there for that?
No, I wasn't there for that. I don't know that story.
That sounded crazy. All right, so we also have Jessica Eye is fighting Aspen Ladd. Aspen Ladd's a tough girl, 8-0, undefeated. Gray Maynard versus Ishihara.
Yeah, I like that fight.
Do you train with Gray?
Yeah, I train with Gray.
How's Gray looking?
I haven't seen him in the last 2 weeks just because I just fought and I've been off. But, you know, Gray's a beast, though. Gray's so damn strong, especially at 145. But, I mean, if I'm being honest here, you know, Gray's my boy. Like, we actually like really good boys and all that. But he just, you know, the last couple years, he's just slowed down, you know, even the way he trains. You know, he never really trains full speed. He never really goes, I don't think he can take the punches, man.
You think Ishihara's going to beat him?
No, I don't think I think he beats Ishihara just from how physically strong and how good of a wrestler that Gray is. But, you know, he just can't take the punches, man.
Dean?
I don't know, bro.
I don't know. I was talking to somebody there about this fight, actually. I don't know. It's a tough fight to call because, like you said, like Gray's got so much experience. He's so strong. He's so dominant of a wrestler.
So technical,
but he doesn't.
Too.
But he doesn't seem like he fights to his strength. He seems like he goes out there and boxes with guys and gets touched up a little bit. And he don't have no chin, so it's a tough fight to call. Like if he fights smart and just, you know, keeps his hands up, gets a takedown, he wins. But if he tries to punch with this guy's got a decent punch.
I honestly feel like he just, and I mean, I'll tell this to him. Like, I've actually told him a couple times, like, bro, like, you just can't take the punches. I feel like he gets hit and then, you know, he just forgets everything, you know? I don't think it's no longer, like, some guys, like, they get hit and, like, mentally they just, you know, they shrink, you know? Like, they just go soft. Him, I think it's like a physical thing.
So what did he say to you? When you say to him, you can't take the punches, how does he respond?
I mean, bro, he can make too much money. Yeah. I mean, you crazy? Like, he, like, I mean, look, I ain't gonna put his. No,
I think there should be a fighter.
No, it's my boy though. It is my boy. I just, to me, like, I try and if you my boy and like. I try and look out for your best interest, you know? Like, I don't give a fuck about the fight. Like, the fight don't really... You know, he's one of the toughest dudes I've met, you know? Like, he's tough as hell. Like, when you go and you train with him, he's tough as fuck. He's everything that you want to be. It's just like, you know, I'm gonna just be real with him, you know? Like, if I'm in your corner and I see you taking a whooping, I'm throwing in a towel. Like, it's more so about... like you said, Dean, like being a fighter ain't everything, you know, like it's so much more to life. And
don't you think there should be like a fighter intervention, right? Where Gray goes to the cage and then the lights come on and everyone's like, it's like his family and friends. And they're like, listen, buddy,
they throw BJ in there. Yeah.
This is not going to happen.
Come on, BJ.
All the times he's been hit is like played on like a TV or something. But every event should have one. So you don't know who's going to be the intervention for. Like, yeah. Maybe it could be, you have like three of them. It could be either of them. I think that would be, you know, I think that would be good. Who do you like in this fight, Ishihara or Maynard?
Probably Ishihara, just because he's younger and you know, this career is all about timing, you know. And Gray's kind of past his time. He's a legend, and respect to him in the game. You know, he's fought for the title, fought the best in the world. So, but I just think that this is a timing game, and Ishihara's got at the right time right now.
The fight I'm most excited about for this weekend is Romero Whitaker. I don't know, I can't call that fight. For some reason, I keep going back and I think about it. I'm like, man, Whitaker looks so good against Jacare, but Romero's just, I don't know. Are people even allowed to look like that anymore? Like, that's just, it's like
Does he train down at ATT?
Well, he's in his own little spot. Oh. Yeah, down in Miami. Own little ATT, yeah.
But he's a separate ATT?
There's a lot of ATTs in the world.
But there's two, really? There's two in Miami? I mean, isn't there one like right there?
No, there's more. Like, we're in Coconut Creek. There's one in Miami. There's one in Deerfield. There's one in West Palm. Yeah, Fort Lauderdale. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Well, somebody making some money over there, boy.
Yeah, take that name and branch it out.
So, who do we like in this fight?
You know, like, if you didn't see Whitaker fight Jacare, you'd say Romero wins that easy. But the way he looked against Jacare, he's really tough. He defends the takedown well. You know, it's tough to say, man, because, you know, Romero just, when he wants to turn it on, nobody in the world can stop him. It's just like he just doesn't want to turn it on until he goes, okay, now I'm ready to fight. But he can't let that go too long. You know what I'm saying? He can't not fight too long. Like, I think he has to get on it early. And if he does, I think he wins that fight easy. But if he waits around too long, you know, Whitaker may be able to rack up some points, man.
How do you become 40 and look like that?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm 39. Yeah, I don't know either, like, how does that happen?
Some genetics like a motherfucker. And the boy's athletic, too. You seen him during the...
Who are his parents? A rhino and a zebra? Like, I mean, how do you look like that?
He's got sick genetics. Like, his brother's like a world champion boxer, too. So it just runs in the family.
Yeah, and it's crazy that he can keep competing at such a high level for so long, you know, in the Olympics and all this, and still at that high level.
I mean, beating Kale Sanderson twice.
I will say this. The man has, like, one of the highest fight IQs.
He got picked off by Kale Sanderson at the Olympics. His dad came up to him, gave him money so he could advance in the quarters.
Really?
Yeah, they paid him off, bro. Cuba, they're all poor over there. Like, they're not making no money. So
Kale's father came up to Yoel, gave him money.
Yeah.
And then he lost on purpose?
Do the match, yeah.
To Kale?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Damn. Oh, yeah.
Is that like a known thing?
Learn something every day.
They do that a lot in the Olympics. Like, yeah.
Man, I should just show up to Olympics with a fucking like a stack of money. I'll fucking do every event. I'll be like, hey, man,
but
come here for a second.
You do got to say, and I think that's why he's been able to compete at such a high level. The man has a fight IQ, you know, like he knows how to compete. Even when you go back and watch like all his old wrestling matches, he'll be losing for like 4 or 5 minutes of a 7-minute match and then come back and like score 10 points like right off the bat, you know, and he even does it like he'll give up some rounds. And then come back and just smoke dudes. So
this fight, who do you like?
I'm kind of with Dean. If he wait too long, he can be picked apart because I don't think he's ever fought a 5-round fight.
Tim Kennedy was beating him. Don't forget, Tim Kennedy was beating him.
I mean, a lot of people beat him, and then he comes back and he smokes him. Because Brunson was doing the same thing.
Yeah,
Brunson was beating
Brunson
him.
Brunson took him down a couple
but
times.
Man,
yeah,
in that third round, he's like Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler does the same thing. You know that? I mean, that's championship level shit. So I don't know if he's ever done it in a 5-round fight. So I think that's kind of where the X factor is, but I don't know, bro. 5 rounds.
That's a big puncher. You know what I'm saying? Like, Whitaker's a big puncher. Like, you can't afford to, like,
give up too much.
Yeah, too much, because you take one punch, man, it changes the game.
Yeah. He can't take too much damage or just beat him on output.
Yeah.
But, you know.
All right, so you're picking. Who are you picking?
Fuck, man, I can't pick right there. I mean, I got to go with Romero because my teammate, because he's got fight changing power. You know, one punch, he does it in the third round so much against Brunson, against, you know, Kennedy. No guys do that when they're gassed out, have that power. So if he gets off and he goes to his strikes, I mean, he's gonna.
Have you ever trained with him before?
Yeah, a couple times. Like, I wrestle all the time. Yeah, we grapple and wrestle.
How do those go?
It went good. You know, we went back and forth. You know, he's strong. He's honestly the strongest guy I've ever even touched. Like, the guy has an insane death grip. Like, he'll grab you and feel like he's going to break a bone in your arm. That's how strong he is.
He could be 60, by the way. We have no idea he's even 40.
Yeah, nobody knows how old he is. Like, they don't have birth certificates from Cuba, so nobody knows how old he really is.
He could be three John Dodsons standing on top of each other.
But, like, you see his corner? Like, the average age of his corner is, like, 55. Like, all these old...
His translator's fucking on steroids. Yeah. Like, they have to test his fucking translator.
So, wait, all right. So y'all think he older than 40?
I do.
Really?
I think he's older than 40.
That's wild, bro. If he older than 40, I need to change my life up a little bit. I don't know. Does that boy, I wouldn't look like that at 25.
He's like the Cuban Benjamin Buttons. That fucking dude.
I think he's super disciplined. Like, he's never put any alcohol or any kind of drug in his body. So, like, he's been completely committed and disciplined his whole life.
Just like John Jones. So, by the way, Jones Cormier too. Who we picking real quick? I want Cormier to win just for sake of goodness and in the world.
I'm going Cormier. I'm going to just say that.
All right.
Put it in the universe.
I'm going to go with Cormier too. Like, I even heard, like, some dudes been talking about him. A lot of dudes been going up there, and guys that I respect, they level, and they like, man, Cormier is like on a different level right now. He's like a beast. So I don't know if he can slow down the fight. I think he stands a real good chance. John's got to make it a high paced fight, try and beat him on output. But if Cormier can grab a hold of him, slow him down, I like his chances. I'd probably go with Cormier.
Yeah.
I got to go with Cormier. He's looked way better fighter lately. He's getting better, and he's been active. You know, John's been on the sidelines. He ain't been competing. So.
And he texts you back. So.
Yeah. He looks a little soft in his pictures too. So
Now Verdum Overeem. I got Overeem in this one. I just think he's gonna knock Verdum out. I think Verdum peaked when he beat Cain.
Yeah, he might have. Yeah, I'm gonna go Overeem.
Yeah. You got to. I mean, he already beat him twice, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't Overeem already beat him? Yeah. He, so. You know, some dudes, they just got your number. So I think he got his.
Does anybody have your number?
Hell no.
Hell no.
I ain't found him yet. Yeah. I'm still looking for him.
Now all the people talk so much shit about you on Instagram and Twitter. Does any of it get to you?
Nah. Some of it's kind of funny, actually. I was going to have a little trip counter to count how many times I say you know it during this interview.
Yeah.
Because somebody made, like, I guess, a video, and they spliced up all the times I said you know, and it was like 100-something times. And it got like 500,000 views or something.
But
like that.
So
it was funny. Like, the shit was funny to me, you know? But I get so many of these Dagestan, like, so many people just, like, will say actually, like, some borderline kind of funny shit, you know? Like, just talk about, like, how I don't have a dad, or how it's like, you know, it's like,
it's like the most
offensive shit. Yeah. It's so offensive that I'll read it and I'll be like, man, that's just, like, what? Like, is this what motherfuckers think?
No, is your mom Asian or your dad Asian?
No, nobody's Asian in my family. Like, yeah. We just owned by a Chinaman a long time ago. Like, my great granddad or somebody, we just, you know, they gave us the surname. But probably my real name is like Nijigawani or some shit, you know, like some shit with a bunch of consonants in it.
Okay, so but it's funny though, because you actually piss off whole countries. Like you go from, like, first the Brazilians get mad at you, then you go to Ireland and call out McGregor in Ireland.
Yeah, I try my best. Actually, in Ireland, they actually kind of like me a lot. Apparently, McGregor's not, you know. Just walking around the town, I was there for 2 weeks, I think, and just, like, talking to people and everything. And a lot of people actually don't like him up there. I don't know. We were in Northern Ireland, and they didn't really fuck with him too much. They don't really like that. Because he's got that American style of promoting, even, you know.
Yeah.
He took a lot of his stuff from Floyd. And that's even what I said during press conference. He took a lot of stuff from us. Because when you go over there, they not like that, you know. You don't see nobody riding around in no Ferraris and Lambos and all this shit. Like, he took that from us, from hip-hop culture. You know, he's a culture vulture. So, now I just called him on this shit about it. Because they don't really, even when I did it down in Ireland, like, they didn't, you know.
People
like, yeah, take his ass out. I'm like,
did you bang any
bro.
Irish chicks or no?
Nah, bro. I'm not into that pale skin. Like, they all got no recessive curves, genes, bro. Hair. Yeah,
really?
I don't know. I like so to...
What about Oklahoma City? What about Oklahoma City? You must have hooked up with a couple farm girls.
I mean,
No?
Oklahoma? The hell no, bro.
Why not?
Look, I was like, put me on the first thing smoking out this motherfucker. It went nothing over there.
Really?
And so, no, I had my little after party here in Vegas. It ain't nothing like it.
Nothing in Oklahoma? Come on.
In Oklahoma City?
Really? That's no, some no, hot
it was
farm.
It was like, by the time I got done fighting, it was Sunday at midnight. And the only chicks around was the chicks that
can
fought.
Can you mostly go
like,
for nah, white I'm girls good. Or you, I'm a black girls?
No,
or?
No, I don't mess with white girls at all.
At all?
At all, no.
Why
they
not?
They kind of annoy me.
They annoy you?
Yeah, a little bit.
All of them?
For the most part, yeah. I ain't met one that I was like, I mean, I did my thing a couple of times, and I'm like, no, nah, I'm straight. Like,
but
every
you're
time
from
I
Detroit.
Do, every time I do, I was like, oh, this was a mistake. Like, so I'm just not comfortable.
In Detroit, how many white girls did you know?
The landlord?
Out of my high school, it was, you know, I went to high school, my class was like 400 people, and we maybe had like 3 white people.
That's crazy. You're a black guy who likes black girls. That never happened.
Yeah, no,
never happens. Yeah, never happened. But you know, no, I keep it. Look, I'm where the camera. Yeah.
Colby, what about you? I mean, are you the Cuban chicks in Miami? Is that who you go for?
You know, I don't discriminate, man. I like all chicks, you know. So
nice.
I like chicks and money. If you like chicks and money, we got a lot in common.
My dude.
I like chicks and money. That should be your nickname. What's your nickname right now?
Chaos.
What is it?
Chaos.
Chaos is pretty good too. I would say chicks and money
triple
is pretty
C.
good.
Triple C, yeah.
And then yours was what?
What?
Your nickname?
God. I don't have. Well, yeah, the it's Godfather.
The Godfather.
You used to call me. Back
but then
the
I looked you up on Sherlock. It said
the
like
Dominator.
Yeah, no, yeah, it said something what? Even.
Deniero. Oh, Deniero.
Yeah,
well,
Deniero.
That's my real name, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my real name.
Oh, Deniero is your real name.
Yeah, that's my.
What kind of name is Deniero?
It's like Arabic or some shit. I don't know.
Your parents from the islands?
No, they from Philly.
Oh.
Yeah. But you know, like back in Philly, back in the 60s and 70s, man, they was all like pro-black, you know, like Arabic, you know what I'm saying, you know, militant. Yeah. Yeah, so that's how that came about.
Now you said your best win was over Matt Serra when I talked to you the other day. You said Matt Serra.
Well,
but I'm looking
one
at
of
you
my
beat,
more high profile.
You beat Jeremy Stephens. Yeah. You beat Jens Pulver.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, Jens Pulver back in the day was...
Well, I mean, honestly, yeah, Jens Pulver was probably my best, but you know, it sucks about that is that I peaked way too soon. You know, that was like back in 2001. You know what I'm saying? So, like, shit, I had a whole career, like 10, you know, way after that. So it sucked to. So I try not to, you know, use that as my, you know, as my pinnacle of my career because it was in 2001.
Rich Clemente, another
Rich Clemente,
great guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you beat
Clay
some...
Guida. I mean, but you know, this, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's why when I ended the game, I was like, man, I'm happy. You know, I did everything I wanted to do.
I asked him, I go, do you like better fighting or coaching? He goes, coaching. I get to fucking pig out, eat whatever I want, and I don't have to fucking get hit in the face.
Well, I mean, doing your stand-up, you can wear a male romper.
Yeah, I wear a male romper. I do whatever.
Yeah, you came out with a romper today.
I mean, hey, I think you done found your new little niche.
Where did you even get that romper? You ordered it online?
No, I got it from Abercrombie & Fitch.
Oh, yeah, they sell them bitches out here. Yeah, go down to the mall. You'll see, like, everybody. I didn't see some weirdo shit, boy. I do a lot of shopping.
All right, so we also got Travis Brown versus Alexi Olenek. I heard Travis Brown, he left Edmund, training with Josh Barnett. Barnett said he's looking great. So I think Travis, this might be his comeback fight. You guys?
Yeah, he's been down at Extreme for a little bit. Yeah, I'm going with Travis for sure.
Are you?
Yeah, I think Travis, he's an experienced vet in the game, and I don't know who that other guy is.
Who, Alexi? Yeah. You don't know, Alexi trains with us. Yeah. see how much he knows about the gym. He don't even know.
You don't know who you're training
with
us.
I love American Top Team. It has nothing to do with not knowing about the gym. I just don't know every fighter. I have a small group, you know.
You don't know your training partners?
No, I got Team Easy Money. That's all we need.
Team
Easy,
yeah.
The world, baby.
Yeah. By the way, Masvidal is one of my favorite fighters. I was a fan of him back when he fought Kimbo's guys. Almost got dropped by one of Kimbo's guys. Kimbo's guys almost beat him.
Black Mamba.
Yeah. Yeah, and he came back, and that was awesome.
Yeah, 17-pound fucking just young kid from Miami who had no money fighting these 300-pound black dudes just so he could get McDonald's. Like, that's how much of a savage he is.
Well, those guys wanted KFC. But
George, he wanted a Big Mac, though.
But that's the thing. Like, there's fighters, and I feel like there's athletes who fight.
Yeah, it's a lot of that.
And some guys cross over into both categories. I think you guys are both athletes who fight and also fighters.
But then you also have the other, there's guys that are just great competitors. There's guys that's not fighters or great athletes.
Yeah, just really good.
And they're just really, like, they just know how to compete.
Hendricks was like that.
Yeah, he was a great competitor. And he just knew how to win, you know. Even the last kid I fought, Michael Chiesa, he was like that, you know. He, not really that great of an athlete, not really a fighter, you know, but can know how to compete and know how to win against guys that he ain't supposed to beat.
Now, you were talking to us before the show started about training with Aaron Pico. Yeah, they actually flew you down to American Top Team, or I mean, AKA.
No. He was down in LA.
I went
down and because I've been using his a new strength and conditioning coach too. I keep my same team, but at every camp I try and like add a little something new. So the strength and conditioning coach that he had did this monitoring on me where, you know, he's telling you, he monitors you every single day and tells you, you know, when your body's peaking, when you can train, when you can't. So I went down there and trained with them a little bit, and them boys, I mean, I ain't gonna lie, that was the toughest strength and conditioning workout I've ever done in my life. Nothing will ever even come close to it. But you know, I did say when I seen him, because he was right there training along with me, and the kid can push.
Pico.
He's 19, 20 years old. Like you can just keep going. I don't know. I hope they don't burn him out.
It does seem like he's, you know, should have went to college instead of like foregoing college, training for the Olympics. It's like you'll get so much better in college than you would bringing in your own people. Just every day with those college wrestling, and even like the 75 matches you'll have a year in college will make you that much of a better wrestler.
I think honestly they kind of overlook the experience part of it, and the part where you fighting guys that don't have a lot of fights or aren't that good. Like you're still getting great experience out those fights. You know, you still got to go through that.
Yeah.
Go through that phase. You know, he tried to jump right into the deep end and fight somebody with 10 pro fights and never had a fight, like never had an amateur, never had a pro fight. Like, and the first time he got punched, I think he just was like, wow, that's what that feel like. It's way different than it feel like even during a sparring match. Like you can have a sparring match and somebody put it on you, but you know, it's way different than
but
a
even
fight.
Like Ed Ruth, they're kind of like slowly putting Ed Ruth along, or those other guys they sign. But with Pico, they put him against a guy who's 9-3.
10 pro fights, man. That's a lot of fights, you know. I don't care if he won them all. I don't care if he was fighting tough guys, whatever. Like, that's a lot of fights. That's a lot of times.
Zach Freeman, he's not
punched.
A bad fighter neither. He's all right.
Yeah,
he's okay.
He can fight, you know. And it showed during the fight, I guess. So, you know, and you can see, I think that's where that experience came from, because if you put them both in skill-wise, they're probably the same. But when Pico hit him, my man didn't flinch. He hit him right back, and Pico couldn't take it. You know, I think it just shocked him how hard he actually hit him.
You know what? Maybe now it's the best thing that could have happened to him, because now all that pressure's off, and now he could just start from scratch, and all the hanger-ons are going to leave and go on to the next person, and he's going to actually have a real experience.
Yeah, no, just from being around him, just from talking to him, he's actually a good kid, really smart too. I just think, you know, people think I'm arrogant, but I ain't really, you know, like I just talk shit,
but
you know, like
up.
I just
now,
grew up talking shit.
Now,
so I talk a lot of shit.
Both of you guys lost to Brazilians. You lost to Warley. I was there for that one.
Same night.
Oh, really?
Ain't this a bitch?
I came out right after that.
You know what? I think I had money on both you guys. I actually bet on both you guys that fight. I was like, motherfucker.
Yeah, me too.
But
me too. Shit. What you mean?
But you came out. You had a torn rotator cuff or something?
No, I had a fucking fractured rib, man. The UFC was giving me cortisone shots all week that week. You know, Dan Lambert knew about it. You know, I'd fractured it in the gym. You know, popped it like two times. Training against a Brazilian, so that's why I feel like the news got leaked. Like the Brazilian knew, because he came out, the first thing he did was threw a kick right at my rib, and I was like, oh, and I put my head down, and he jumped on a guillotine, you know. So, you know, it was a mistake to go in the fight not at 100% and come in with a fractured rib, but the UFC knows what happens. They knew I was getting cortisone shots all week, so, you know, I showed up to get my show money, you know.
But you know what? Do you think that was the best thing that happened to you?
Because honestly, it fucking put a fire under my ass, and it still does. I look at that tape every day before I go to sleep, and it just makes me train and get up the next day and fucking work hard.
You watch it every day before you go to bed?
Almost every day, dude. It almost sends me to sleep crying. I just love that feeling, because it keeps me like a fire burning inside. Like, I want to keep improving, keep evolving, and show everybody that how much of a fluke that was, because that was a fluke, bro. Mm.
No, I know. I actually texted you after that. I'm like, hey, man, sorry. You text back all caps. Fuck that money. And wrote me this. I was like, holy. I almost like, I think I pulled over.
We was on the same night. You ain't text me shit. Just like, all right, bro. Like, all right. I guess I guess we ain't gonna talk no more.
No, I texted you as well. but that fight. No, do you think you had like lost like 20 pounds the night before or something for that fight? Right?
But I kind of do that for every fight. That might have played a factor in it, because that was the first fight without being able to use the IV to rehydrate, and I just kind of barely rehydrated. I just did the things that I normally do without the IV, and that was the first time I ever like got hit with a punch and actually been hurt. But, you know, I think I just, and again, that's where this experience comes through, because without me having that experience, I don't think I would be as good as I am now. You know, like, I went into that fight, I just was worried because he's one of the best grapplers in the division. So I was only worried about his grappling. And even once we started to grapple, I was like, okay, he ain't, you know, oh, his grappling ain't that good. Like, so I just kind of relaxed too much. Because I wasn't worried about his stand-up at all. And I was just waiting. Like, I think everybody in the ring, I was just waiting for him to fall, you know? So I stepped in overconfident. Like, I tried to throw a lead uppercut. Like, I wasn't, right. I just wasn't, you know, I knew right away, like, not to do that. Even when he hit me, I was like, God damn. Like, oh, that had fucked up. And you see, like, I was still in there. I was still ready to fight. Like, I was even talking to Big John as he was hitting me. I'm like, I'm good. Like, just, you know, I guess that, you know, I kind of learned to, when you get hurt, not to turn away from the punches. You know, I probably should have pulled guard or something and settled down. But I had never really been hurt in a fight before. So
what did Floyd say to you afterwards?
Actually, that was Yeah, that fight kind of fucked up a lot for me.
Why? But, what? Why? What did Floyd say?
He with you no more.
Huh? Nah. It wasn't that. It was just, you know, we was actually getting ready to. I can't.
Come on, tell us. Now you gotta tell me. So what? After all the shit you say, this is what you're gonna hold back? What, you were ready to sign with Floyd Mayweather promotions or something? Was that?
Yeah, I mean, we was gonna do some work. And you know,
Dean, what would have happened? What is he trying to say?
I don't know. I'm curious.
Nah, you don't know nothing because he's supposed to know nothing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I will say that fight did set me back a little more than just the win bonus.
All right, okay.
You know, but again, I mean, it was the best thing to happen to me because now I understand, like, you know, to stay. You know, I gotta respect everybody's skill set. You know what I mean?
Right.
And in all areas, especially at this level.
Now, when you called Paige and Felice sixes, right?
Right.
Did they ever confront you on that?
Felice probably should have.
Yeah. Did they ever say, "Hey, listen, I'm not a six"?
Nah.
I once did that on a podcast. Should've. I'm like, yeah, if I got, yeah. I broke my lead. I broke my slump. I banged the seven, and then I get a text. I am not a seven. I was like, oh, like, shit.
Probably is. Like, if you took offense to it, man, it probably is.
But did they say anything about that?
No, because what they gonna say?
Like, I'm not a six. They're not. You don't think they're really sixes, do you?
And I'm
they
be
can't
like,
really. I mean, if you think like, they're a six, then you think
like,
they're a six.
Yeah, I think you was like, what you want to do? Like, you gonna fight me over it? Like,
so who's a ten? Sorry. So what fighter's a ten? If they're a six, who's a ten?
A fighter? I don't think no fighters.
The karate hottie. You don't think she's a ten?
I don't. No fighters a ten. I don't think I. Claudia, she up there, but
she's bad.
Yeah,
Claudia's bad.
Yeah, she bad. But
what about
if you took Claudia's face and stuck it on. Beth Correa's body, then that's probably be a 10.
Right.
That's about
it. That makes sense.
Because Beth looked like dog in the face. I'm sorry. That motherfucker's ugly.
Yeah. But she got that badunka dunk.
Boy.
Yeah.
But you would hit it, though.
Hell no. Nah. Really? We fought down in Brazil. I can't get over it, bro.
Wait, like, not even from behind?
Hell no. Nah. I can't look at it. I'm sorry.
But you don't have to look at it. You're behind her. Nah, nothing. Would you hit that, Colby?
Dude, she was honestly like coming on to me in Singapore because she fought Holly Holm in the main event. And I was like, right before the co-main event, so before we go on the press conference, she was like coming up to me, like grabbing my leg and like touching my butt and stuff, and I was just like, whoa. She was like trying to throw herself on me, like claim me, dude. And I was just like, no, I'm good. Like,
so what did you do?
I get better. What
you said? No, I'm good.
Oh, I just said I got higher standard. I just kind of went like,
yeah. I mean, but the ass though, I'm just saying like, what?
You guys, you do have to go trunk in the back. Yeah.
I don't know though, but you're in Singapore. I mean, I hear you. I feel you. But sometimes you gotta just, you know.
I'm like, give me a drink and let me think about it.
Yeah. I hear you. All right. Have you ever hooked up with a fighter?
Nah, man.
Have you ever trained a girl who wanted to sleep with you afterwards?
No.
Never.
No. Well, you know, like the girls I train now are all lesbians, so I keep it that way.
Really only lesbians?
Yeah, I only mess with lesbians.
Like, do you ask? Like, do you like? Let me smell your finger. You'll train them.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that is our podcast. What do you got coming up, Kevin?
Right now we working on something. We working on some fights. So they want me to come back sooner than I want to. I'd rather come back. You know, the UFC's coming to Detroit. I think it's gonna be a huge card. regardless of who they put against me. You know, we'll see. We got to see how, you know, when the Khabib-Tony fight will happen, who's available, who's not, you know.
Who have they offered you?
December's still a long way away, so we trying to make some fights happen. I'm trying to get the fight with Eddie now. So
Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah.
That's so, a good fight.
You know, it's a good fight. They want me to do it a little sooner than I would like, but even for the, you know, for the money.
I ain't gonna spill too much of the beans.
I mean, if I like Eddie, though, Eddie's like, dude, it's like the Terminator. You can't kill him. He just keeps coming. I mean, well, Connor did, but most
watch
guys.
Watch me. If he look. I mean, you can be as strong as you want mentally. At some point, the physical gonna give up. Like I done fought many guys that's mentally tough, but at some point, that physical gonna, you know, it ain't nothing you can do about
so
it.
So you fight Eddie? What round? The first round, second round?
Oh, that I smoke Eddie and be third round for sure. You know, I drag him. I'd even carry him a little bit.
What about? Why are you laughing?
Man, it's funny the way he said he's gonna carry him a little bit.
No, I'm dead serious too. No, I'm dead serious. Yeah, I carry him a little bit. I really drag him through the mud. You know, he's slow. He get hit a lot too. So, you know, yeah, I like that fight.
What about Poirier?
And he's stupid too. So,
what about Dustin?
I like the Dustin fight too, but you know, we ain't really. I mean. You know, I'm trying to look to the top, so I ain't really worried about him. So, you know, I think Dustin Raymond beneath me, so I'm looking towards the top.
Got it. Colby, what do you got coming up?
I'm looking for Glass Chin, No Heart, Neil Magny, but, you know, he's taking a while to sign the contract, so they sent me the one and I already agreed to it, so I'm waiting on him, but... You know, he knows I'm going to send him to a new career job choice. He's probably going to be like a kiosk, like Verizon Mall type dude. Oh, so. So, Neil Magny, you better sign that contract.
Dean, what do you got coming up?
I don't got shit coming up. I'm just hanging out. I'm hanging out with you today.
No, you're going to be in the cage on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be in the cage on Saturday. I got Amanda.
And by the way, how are you getting Woodley prepared for Maya?
You know, we don't have a lot of time. So, it's like, you know, we got to put it together, you know, bring in some decent jiu-jitsu guys to work on those things.
Decent? These guys are the number one in the world.
I mean, obviously bringing in good jiu-jitsu guys to work on some stuff and... You know, and just make sure that he's, you know, he's throwing. You know,
and then Askren, right? You get trained with Askren?
Yeah, Askren. Yeah, he's been working with Askren the last couple of weeks. You know, just getting used. Because Askren and, believe it or not, Askren and Maya are very similar in their approach to a fight. You know what I'm saying? They climb on guys. So, you know, he's been working with Askren for the last couple of weeks.
That's great. It's great. Yeah. Next week, I will be in Naples, Florida at the Off the Hook Comedy Club next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Listen, and Sunday. I want to thank you guys. This has been an honor to have such talented fighters here in my hotel room, as gay as that sounds. Thank you guys so much. Keep listening to MMA Roasted, and take care.